really lovely guy. And a couple of days into the work that we were doing, he said, Fiona, I want to give you a presentation. So I thought, what on earth's going on here? He said, we want you to know how much we appreciate all that you're doing for us. And we can do no less than give you this wonderful award. And he gave me a pair of black rubber gloves with pink lace and pink feathers and pearls all round the edge. So I walk round the site every morning.
Very good. Great. Well, there we go. Questions, ladies and gentlemen. Just indicate and then I'll repeat your question because it will go on tape. Sir? How did Roy get started with the trumpet?
Two brass bands, because that's a particular feature of the northern part of the country, isn't it?
Okay, was it through brass bands?
Yes, well, I suppose indirectly it was, because his grandpa was a brass band leader. And in those days, they used to parade around the village every Sunday, and then they used to go to Roy's mum and dad for tea, or everybody was in the brass band. It wasn't a brass band, it was a brass band.
From Huddersfield.
From Huddersfield. And yes, and as a result of that, I mean, he was involved. He didn't actually learn to play, but then he had to go to do his national service, by which time he was already a professional entertainer, as it were. And his uncle, who was a trumpet player, gave him a trumpet and said, there you are, lad, you might as well do something useful whilst you're in the RAF. And so he drove everybody mad teaching himself to play the trumpet. And the only reason that all the other people in the billet put up with the noise of Roy learning to play trumpet was that he'd also been trained to be a barber. And so he used to cut everybody's hair in the billet for free, and otherwise they would have had to pay 2 shillings and get the bus or something. So they put up with him. But he actually never he never had a music lesson in his life. He taught himself every instrument. He even did a long-distance course to teach himself how to do orchestrations, and he used to do all his own orchestrations for all the shows that he did.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
This is going to be a very short interview, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Are any of your children Christians?
Praise God, and in spite of me, all of my children are Christians. Isn't that fantastic?
That is very good.
Yes. I always say in spite of me because I was such a rubbish mother. They love to tell me what a rubbish mother I was. They come to lunch every Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? They come to lunch every Sunday and they sit round the table and, oh, Mummy, do you remember that? You were so unfair, you know? And they're going on and I'm blushing, thinking, oh, dear. But the best part about it is that they still love me even though I was rubbish.
They'll learn. Learn one day for you.
But yeah, they all became Christians. And as I said, one of my daughters was a missionary in Peru for 12 years. And they all became Christians at different times.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Yeah, I met Ben, your son, at Aberystwyth University years ago. And I wasn't a student then, I think. I was a student myself. But is Ben still producing CDs now?
Is Ben still at work producing his CDs of his music?
He's just about to bring another one out, I think. He's just been working on one. They've never been successful, his CDs. So it cost him thousands of pounds.
Everybody
to produce
buy one
them.
Out of sympathy, please.
Yes.
Ben, we love you, wherever you are. Yeah.
It's not like being
anybody
on.
Else.
He is actually quite well respected as a musician.
Okay.
He's done some interesting
yes.
things. Oh, I tell you what, I must tell you this one thing. Sorry.
Yes, it's fine.
He was doing the for the Jubilee. He was in the middle of, you know, in front of Buckingham Palace, and he was playing with the band there. And I was sitting in front of the television. Oh, there he is! You know, proud mum. But he said, you know, it was the most amazing experience of his life because he was playing for all these different people. But the best part about it was that afterwards, everybody was invited to Buckingham Palace for a reception. And they didn't get kicked out until 2:30 in the morning after that event.
And he said, don't tell us, Fiona, Prince Philip's head. Déjà vu.
No, but he was speaking, chatting to Stevie Wonder, who's his idol, you know, thought, oh, how wonderful. And suddenly, in on the conversation were Will and Kate and, you know, all the royal family were just wandering around. He said it was just incredible.
Very good. Okay. Alan. Who is the most interesting person you've ever met apart from Roy? That's a hard question, isn't it?
Oh, that's impossible to answer.
It's you, Vinny.
Yes. That's the short answer.
I've just been so privileged to meet so many amazing people. I suppose if you want me to name drop, the person that I was really the most excited to meet was Frank Sinatra, and I spent an evening with him at the Sands in Las Vegas, which was his hotel. And Roy was working there. And the next people to come in were... I think Roy did about 3 weeks working there. And then at the end, there was a hoarding up saying, next production will be Dean Martin and Friend. And Friend was Frank Sinatra. And they came to the last evening to watch Roy and then invited us to spend time with them in the lounge. They had the lounge sort of band and everything. And then they invited us for the first night of Dean Martin and Friend. And so we sort of got to know them. And actually, Roy did an album for Reprise Records, which was Frank Sinatra's company. Yes. And so that was exciting. But on totally the other side of the spectrum, the person that I love and admire most, who's been more helpful than anybody else, was the pastor of our church, a man called Jim Graham. And he was our mentors as a family when we first started to go to this church. I was with him and his wife yesterday. We're still really good friends, but he's seen us through so much and taught me so much about not just what it says in the Bible, but how to apply it to my life. And so he would be the person that I would say, wow, I'm so grateful to him.
Okay, thank you.
So it's a bit of a, you know, opposite ends of the pole.
There we go. Yes. Did the lady who rang you, saying that she felt she had to ring you, have you kept that friendship going, and did she see this difference in you?
Yes, the answer is. She was the most lovely lady. She was older than I was by quite a few years, and sadly, she's no longer with us. But she was my mentor for the first 6 months. I used to ring her up and say, how do I handle this? This has gone wrong. And what should I do on this occasion? And she was wonderful to me for 6 months. Mm. And then after 6 months, she said, get on with it now. You know enough to get on without me. But, you know, I was so grateful to her. The day that I became a Christian was the 25th of February, 1975. And every year, until she died a couple of years ago, I sent her a card on my birthday, on the 25th of February, every year to thank her and to say how much what she'd done had meant to me and how important it was. So, yes, we kept in touch.
Great. Thank you for that question. Yes, sorry. How did your children cope with your father's death, Fiona?
Well, it's an interesting question, that, because one of the things that I learned as a result of having to tell them that Roy was dying or he had cancer was to see the different reactions. All one family, and yet each child had a different way of dealing with it. One got really angry and she would have kicked the cat if we'd had one, you know. And Benjamin, who was about 17 or 18 at the time, he was a sort of macho, I'm a teenager, I know it all type. And he just went completely ashen and couldn't speak until I said, okay, it's all right to cry, Benj. and he just burst into tears. And I realised, you know, from the different reactions, we had to give each other space for how we dealt with it. And it was very interesting. One of the things that Roy left us as a legacy was a sense of humour. And Roy died about 5:30 in the morning. So I hadn't told them. I didn't wake them up. They were all actually staying at the house at the time. And then I organised Roy. I was incredibly sort of practical at that time, realising I had to be ahead of myself that day, knowing what would be going on. Got myself organised, and then I went and made them all a cup of tea. They all came into the bedroom, and we gathered round Roy's bed, and I think we were all in tears. And then a little while later, almost immediately after that, Benjamin, who, as I say, he was the youngest, he said, "Mum, I'm supposed to be going up to Blackpool today to do the illuminations." He was working with National Youth Jazz Orchestra at the time. And he said, "I don't know whether I should go or not." And so I said, "Well, it really doesn't matter to me. If you want to go, you go. It's perfectly all right." But I said, "Pray about it. You've got 30 minutes before you have to make a decision. If you want to go, fine. If you don't, they'll quite understand." He said, "Well," he said, "I won't mind going," he said, "but I'll be worried about all the people saying, 'I hear your dad's died.'" And I said, "Well, darling, they're bound to, but they'll be nice to you." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I'll immediately think of the Eric Morecambe joke." He said, "I hear your dad's died. I hope so. They buried him last week." So from all of us being in tears, the next thing we were all roaring with laughter. And I think, you know, that was the wonderful thing about our family, that we could just laugh at everything, see the funny side. And it's a great help not to take ourselves too seriously.
Okay, maybe a last question. Anybody?
No more question.
Yes.
Oh,
do you run a charity for lung cancer?
No. I'm very involved with Cancer Research UK, and I've done a lot of work to do with the smoking cessation with them, and support them as much as I can.
Mm. Great. Thank you for that question. Well, folks, we've had a great evening, and in a moment we'll thank Fiona publicly. But I want to ask you a question. The lady was on the phone, and Fiona went to see her, and she said, "Have you ever asked Jesus to be your saviour?" Now, that question actually is crucial for all of us. It's a little bit like the day you get married. You say yes to another person. It's not vague, it's very definite, and it makes all the difference. It made all the difference in Fiona's life and Roy's life. But more importantly, folks, it makes all the difference in eternity. You see, the hope of the Christian faith is simply that by trusting Jesus Christ, who is the God-man, who rose from the grave, who's conquered death, we have hope. And this church tonight will put this actual event on so that you too can have that hope. And we all need hope. And isn't it interesting in a day and age when we see so many celebrities and we begin to strip away the veneer and the rottenness of what's coming out these days, it's great to know there are people in that world with a Christian faith. And if you haven't got one, ladies and gentlemen, you may have one as you put your trust and faith in Jesus, who died for you and rose in the power of an endless life. What he's done for Fiona, he can do for you. And what he's done for me, he can do for anybody. Can we just say that if you don't go to a church Sunday morning, there's a church here, 11 o'clock, is that right, Simon? 10 o'clock. Well, if you come at 11, you'll be late. But you will miss the collection. And in the evening?
By the way, we don't have...
Okay. Yeah, he always comes at 11 o'clock. Simon, what time is the evening?
Yeah, I'll just say a quick thing over to about you. The evening. We have a special night, Sunday evening, the International Night. And
this is an evening of celebration of various. We have a lot of different nationalities represented in our church, and